This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Lynn and Uma with you on the evening edition at 7:35 in the evening. Our next story for this hour is actually about Lim Guan Eng and how he was surprisingly acquitted.
Surprising to some. Yes.
Acquitted yesterday for those corruption charges that were leveled against him. I think it was a few years ago now, because he was accused of buying a bungalow at a far below market rate.
Yes. So we've had the MACC claiming that it was, quote unquote, very shocked by the move. And there's also been a number of reactions by public figures basically saying they are also shocked. They think that there needs to be more investigation, etc.
From within the Pakatan Harapan government,
yes,
mind
I was
you.
Kind of, yeah.
It's
yes.
a bit weird, isn't
Why
it?
Why tiptoe around it? Yes, that's what happened. And all of it is a bit odd, which is why we wanted to do this today.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're right when you're saying it's a bit odd, because obviously these statements, I think Syed Saddiq, Nurul Izzah, they were all done via Twitter, because, you know, that's the medium of communication these days.
It's a brave new world.
It is a brave new world. But the statements were odd because they kind of called for further investigation of their own finance minister.
Yes, that's right.
And clearly people are still very unhappy that Lim Guan Eng is the finance minister.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, we are not lawyers, but this was a court decision, so it's not as if there's not a lot of wriggle room to say, hey, this, you know, I don't know what the actual content of, what the discontent, where it's stemming from, really.
So I think probably a level of transparency is required, right?
Yes.
And so we know this was a court case. These charges for the longest time were felt to be politically motivated. However, I think the people people are owed an explanation with regards to how this came about. Because if you are indeed buying a bungalow far below market rates, and you happen to be the chief minister of Penang at the time, there is the question that arises, why are you getting these special discounts?
So that is the most crucial part of anything, right?
Yes.
I think in Malaysia, we have a very strange relationship with power, where sometimes we really want to make way for the powerful. We believe that they can get us what we want if we just know the right people. And at the same time, when it's used or when it's abused, the reaction is, you know, incredibly and understandably paranoid.
Well, not even if they can give us something. We've become so paranoid and fearful of power that, you know, they don't even have to make a demand sometimes. A simple request means that we will cower in fear and do their bidding because we're afraid of what they might do to us if we don't, right? So transparency and communication was absolutely crucial. I mean, an acquittal wasn't enough, especially in the current environment when everyone is expecting the Pakatan Harapan government to be righteous. Or more than righteous, right?
Yes. So I guess that's where the reactions are coming from.
Yeah.
It's nevertheless not a good look in the news.
No.
I mean, I was quite disheartened when I saw it.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're going to get the opinion of a lawyer. We have on the line with us lawyer Raghunath Kesavan. Raghunath, thank you so much for joining us on the show. What are your thoughts on Lim Guan Eng's acquittal? Does it raise any red flags to you?
I think, yes, it does. I think the manner it was done, a lot of people anticipated that it would happen. I don't think the public perception has changed to accept that the Attorney General's chambers would be completely independent from the government. So therefore, I don't think that anyone is surprised that the charges were withdrawn. So the issue for us as lawyers would be how it was done, and whether any red flags in terms of the withdrawal.
So you mentioned that the problem here, or at least the main problem, is the manner in which the case was handled. Can you elaborate further on why you found it to be problematic?
Well, I think, firstly, it is a prosecution of a senior member of a political party who was in the opposition. Then it moved, and now they're part of the ruling party. And Lim Guan Eng is the finance minister at the moment. And the government of the day is the Harapan government, which he's part of. And the prosecution was carried out pre-9th of May, when Lim Guan Eng was in the opposition. The agencies that were involved were the same agencies, the Attorney General Chambers and the MACC. the change, the significant changes in agencies, those persons heading the agencies, the Attorney General is Tommy Thomas, you was Tansi Apandi before, and the ACC head was Tansi Zul, and now is Dato' Shukri. So the investigating team and the prosecuting team, there'll be no change at all. So when there is a change in the direction of the case, which now the Attorney General's Chambers made an application to the court that they're withdrawing the case, then the perception is that there must have been a reason for it. So that is why there's a requirement that you must be present to explain what the reasons are.
So just for context, Raghunath, how often does the AG's Chambers accede to requests for the withdrawal of charges?
Very often, very often. And the reasons could be manifold. It could be on a case-to-case basis relating to mitigation, that the victim has apologized and that the complainant is remorseful and it was a small matter. And things. There are many, many cases, and the case, it's not a closed grounds or reasons that or limited reasons that the Attorney General can withdraw the case. So it can be on many circumstances.
That being said, how is Lim Guan Eng's case unique here?
Well, I think the problem was that, on the day it was withdrawn, there was no response. And finally, the response from the Attorney General's Chambers, it wasn't Tommy Thomas who had recused himself. It was from the head of the appellate division, Dato' Hanafiah, who, according to, this is reading purely the statement that was released by ADC, I have a few concerns. One, he raised the fact that there was apparently fresh evidence that made the case weak, and therefore there was no justification to proceed with the case. There's no chance of having a successful conviction. The question for the public would be, what is that fresh evidence? And secondly, the issue that apparently the Attorney General's Chambers applied for discharge not amounting to an acquittal, which would indicate that they wanted the option to proceed in the future if they wanted to against Lim Guan Eng. Now, that doesn't make sense when you have earlier on stated that the case is so weak and you have new evidence which acquits or is in favor of Guan Eng that would lead to an acquittal. So if the case is so weak, why did you then want a discharge not amounting to an acquittal? It doesn't make sense. Currently, there seems to be some trust between the Attorney General's Chambers and the MACC, because one, the statement issued by MACC is right after the acquittal. Secondly, in the statement from ACC, they mentioned specifically that they did not even inform MACC because they don't want information to be leaked. Now, that is a serious allegation against an investigative agency which you're supposed to work together with. And is there a problem between the AGC and MACC? Are they not working working together? Why is there distrust to the point that you did not discuss with them and you suspect that there could be leakages of the information? So these are issues that remains unanswered.
So what do you think could have been done instead?
Perhaps proceeding with the case, since the defense was so confident that they could get an acquittal, they should have left it to the court to decide. When you withdraw the prosecution, you create an additional burden on the AGC to explain why, especially because it is a high-profile case, and especially because the only change has been the head of the AGC, which is the head of the MACC, the investigating officers remain the same. The prosecuting officers are also the same. So at what point that they decide and that there was fresh evidence?
You mentioned this briefly earlier, but according to the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, or C4, the certainty with which former AG Apandi Ali pressed the charges as compared to the ease of the acquittal raises questions as to whether the system could be perpetually stacked in favour of the existing government. Are we lacking in safeguards to prevent that from happening?
But I think the question for me is that you can have all kinds of safeguards. If you don't have people with integrity holding positions within this institution, it doesn't matter what the safeguards are. So the question for me would be, the team of investigators, have they changed their mind pre-9th May and post-9th May? The prosecutors, have they changed their mind? Same people are involved pre-9th of May and post-9th of May. Has there been a change of mind? Why? If there has been, which is fine, we can accept, but there must be a thorough explanation.
Who bears the responsibility for the acquittal? Is it just the AG's chambers, or does it have anything to do with the MACC?
Absolutely 100% with the AG's chambers, Attorney General's chambers. So the concern I have is the statement raises more doubt than providing clarity. Why did you say that there was the concerns of leakages? Is there a mistrust with MACC?
So would MACC still have any role to play at the moment?
Well, there's nothing MACC can do. The court has already decided an acquittal. So I think the questions for me would be, what is the new evidence? What are the grounds of for the Attorney General or his office to go for an acquittal?
So is that the immediate next step, Raghunath, the need for clarification from the AGC?
I mean, it's still open. I think we need more clarification anyway. It's still not too late for the chambers to provide further explanation. It is... Now we also realize that in the new Malaysia, rhetoric is easy, right? When you're in the opposition, your manifesto, you talk about the rule of law, you talk about reforming institutions, you talk about upholding justice, you talk fear of favor, transparency. Now, when you're in power, implementing is a completely different ballgame. We seem to have fallen back on the promises made, that there would be transparency, there would be openness, you know, and there would be all these changes and accountability. So you can have all the safeguards you want, but if we can't fall back on principles, on values, on carrying out the duties as a prosecutor, as a member of the investigating team independently, and you are entitled to change your mind, which I accept, but there must be absolutely strong, cogent reasons for you to do so.
Thank you very much for your perspective, Raghunath. That was lawyer Raghunath Kesavan with his views on Lim Guan Eng's acquittal of graft charges on Tuesday.
We had a tweet come in from Inchik Khalid, who says, the bungalow purchase was part one. The corruption charge is linking that with land sales. And after 25 plus witnesses, the prosecution can't prove the link. So, yeah.
All right. So I guess therein lies the bigger question, right? What Raghunath was kind of alluding to, mm-hmm. which was, if you are a part of the government, maybe the perception game is also something you need to play, which means an outright acquittal from the AGCs may look bad, especially given how everyone else remains the same except the person on top, who is a political appointee. And so, therefore, maybe you should have let the case continue and play that game, because then it fills the people with confidence that you haven't interfered in any way.
I know it feels
like a long and tedious process, right?
No, I agree with that. I think part of it is that I suppose there is a sense that someone might have used their power to circumvent a long and tedious process. And
yes.
The thing is, that's not a privilege that should be accorded to really anybody. We all kind of have to go through the same things when it comes to the court. We all have to go through the same things when it comes to the law.
Mm. And also, whether or not buying a bungalow for less than market value had nothing to do with graft. It may not have, right? But maybe if you are in that position of power, the question remains, should you be afforded such deals to begin with?
We have a rather lengthy message on Twitter. I'm going to try and summarize this to the best of my ability. If you had sat in court as I did and listened to the 25 witnesses in Guan Ying's bungalow case, you would have understood why the case was dropped, why he was acquitted and discharged. It was going nowhere. The prosecution was ill-prepared from the very beginning, throwing at the judge thousands of pages of so-called documents without indexes and titles. The first witness was a member of Kami Gang Najib, which strengthened the perception that the case was politically motivated. The others that they called supported the former chief minister's defense. I believe every accused has the right to make representations in light of the claim of political persecution and change of government. And while I totally agree that it should be made public, I'm not surprised at all by yesterday's decision. I wish everyone else would stop their sandiwaras and melodramas.
Oh, well, there you go. And I think that's what's important. I think that's the information that needs to come out, right? That the people need to know exactly what happened in that process. And if that is indeed the case, thank you so much for that tweet, by the way. Who is it from?
Susan Loon.
Okay, Susan Loon, thank you so much for that tweet. And, you know, if that is indeed true, then we need to ask the question what YB's Nurul Izzah and Syed Saddiq were saying. Were they not aware of the process and the, I guess, transparency here, right?
Yes.
Yes. So keep those tweets and thoughts coming in. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. This is definitely a story that we're going to continue with. And we're definitely going to try and get some of the people
involved
to come on BFM and talk to us about it. In the meantime, we've got some music coming your way after these messages. Van Halen, Why Can't This Be Love on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.